I saw a story the other day. Did you see this? It said it's FAFSA season. I didn't know it was a season.
Yeah, I saw that. And I'm like, oh, we don't have to do that.
I know.
When I say we, my wife doesn't have to do that anymore.
When you get out of college jail, hey, first of all, how fortunate for you if you do get into college jail. But when you get out of college jail, that's a beautiful thing. When you no longer have to stress about saving for and helping your kids pay for their college education. Now, the guest we bring in frequently to this studio on this topic is Rae Caplan. You hear her commercials here sometimes on WGN Radio. She's a debt relief lawyer, but she specializes in educational loans. We asked her to come back. Hi, Rae. How are you?
Hi, John. Great. Thank you.
Is that a thing? FAFSA season?
It's FAFSA season. Yes.
You didn't bring a pie or anything. It sounds like a fun time of year, but it's when you fill out the forms if your kids are going to qualify for student loans?
Yeah. So usually they're due by October 1st every year, and you really want to get them filled out before October every year. So as early as you can. And I think there's a lot of confusion out there for parents and for student borrowers about what exactly they're signing on for, how much aid or federal student loans they're entitled to. And that's something that, you know, I was hoping to talk about today because I know people are confused about it.
Well, the form is just sort of a economic assessment of you, right?
Right. So the form, the FAFSA is used by the Department of Ed and the school to determine your estimated rate of contribution as a family to your kid's education. And so they apply a formula between the Department of Ed and the school that you're attending, and then they can determine how much of that, I think it's $7,500 is the cap for undergrad each year, how much of that the student borrower is eligible for. So depending on your economic circumstances, you're either going to qualify for, you know, somewhere between $3,000 and $7,500 per year per student borrower.
And borrowing, I mean, I can borrow all the money I want from a private lender. This is a federal program that I'm talking about.
Right.
So that's how much you can get in a federally backed loan. Do you get that from the federal government, or do you get that from a bank, but the federal government supports it or something like
that? No, you get it. You can get it from, it'll come from the Department of Education.
I see. Mm-hmm. And is that the, okay, so now I'm confused about prioritizing who should borrow the money, the student or the parent or the grandparents, and where you should borrow it from.
Right. And so this is the part that requires a little bit of financial analysis on our end, you know, to apply to the family in question. But in general, because we know if your kid is going to undergrad, there's a cap on the amount that they can take out as the student borrower. And that's only going to be about $7,500 per year. So in the aggregate total that they're going to get to cover their tuition is going to be $31,000, which usually is not enough to cover all the costs of their education. So then after you...
Over four years.
Right. So then that's not going to be enough. So then the next question is, okay, where do we go for the additional funds that we need? I would say the next best thing to do is for this the student's parents to take out federal Parent PLUS loans. And it's very important that those loans, you also fill out a FAFSA form for those, and those are also coming from the Department of Ed and from the federal government. Only the parents are responsible for them. And there's much more, you have a much greater chance that you're going to get approved for everything you need.
Really, as a Parent PLUS loan?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm writing this down. First, the student borrows via the as much as they can.
Right, those are called federal. Direct Stafford subsidized and unsubsidized loans. So take out as much as you can as the student borrower, whatever you're going to be entitled to after they run that formula on you and
from
your parents.
From the feds. From the Department of Education.
Right.
Say. This is not the student going to a local bank.
No,
this
forget about local banks as much as you can.
Okay, fair enough. So and then the parents should be the next line of defense.
Exactly. So then the parents are going to borrow federal Parent PLUS loans. And here's the important part. It should be the parent who makes the least amount of money. So federal Parent PLUS loans are easy to qualify for. Anybody who can qualify for a Capital One credit card will be approved for them. So don't worry, you'll get approved for them. But I say that because when we go to calculate what your payment's going to be, when the payments come due, they're going to base that payment based on the borrower's income.
Okay, so one of us makes $100,000, one of us makes $50,000, do it 50. What if one of us makes $75,000, the other makes none? Can you make it the zero person be the person that gets the Parent PLUS loan?
Yes.
Okay, well then this is critical, really. And so you don't put it in, Brendan and I tend to do things in both of our names. It should be in
Whoever makes the lease.
And married couples should do it in the person's name who makes the lease.
Right, for federal loans.
All right.
Right, because when we go to calculate what your payment's going to have to be, it's going to be based on that person's income.
Obviously, the first line of defense, I mean, these are borrowing costs. The first thing would be save as much as you can through, what is the letter and number thing?
Well, maybe.
Really?
Maybe not. Right, that is part of the financial analysis that we do, too. So if you have a student borrower that you know that your child is going to go be a doctor or a teacher in public school and most of their loans are going to be forgiven by the federal government, I would say that it makes more sense at that point to take out all federal funding to subsidize that kid's education.
Before you use the money you saved?
Don't use any of the money you saved.
But I'm going to pay interest. But I'm going to pay interest on the loans.
No, you actually won't. Interest is going to accrue, but the way the statute is set up, it's going to be based on that student's income and your income if you have federal Parent PLUS loans, and 90% of the time you pay very little of that interest. That's just the way the statute is set up.
Really?
Yes.
So you would advise, if I've been saving money through that, what is that state program they have in Illinois? It's the something or another. It'll come to me in a second. Somebody text me, 312-981-7200. But you've been saving money through this state supported program. And now I've got $20,000 in the bank or $15,000 or however much, but first go through these borrowing exercises, you think?
Well, so I would say if you have gone through that program, which that name escapes me also right now, but I know what you're talking about.
It's not a 401c3.
No,
that's a,
it's like
that's
a 529 or something.
Yes. You're right. You're right.
So it's tax exempt funds and you have to use that money for tuition or you take a tax hit. So if you've already done that, use that money for tuition. But there's probably, you're still probably going to have costs for the kid going to school that you are either they're going to need to take out federal loans for or you're going to need to take out federal Parent PLUS loans. Here's the key I would tell people is that make sure, because a lot of private lenders call their loans Parent PLUS loans and it confuses the situation, but because you want to take out federal Parent PLUS loans because the payment terms are very forgiving and there's forgiveness, etc. But for private Parent PLUS loans, there is nothing like that. So just make sure that your loans are from the Department of Education, not from Citibank or Discover or something like that.
Are there income caps for me to qualify for these loans?
No, not really. I mean, they're very loosely credit based, but again, if you can qualify for a Capital One card, which pretty much everyone can, then you can qualify for federal Parent PLUS.
So if I'm making $150,000 a year, I may still qualify for the Parent PLUS loan.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
312-981-7200. The calls and texts always come in when Ray Kaplan is here. We'll take a couple phone calls. Mike, you're on WGN. What can we do for you, Mike?
Yeah. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My son graduated 2 years ago in 2017. He worked full-time for 2 years as a teacher in Indiana, and then decided he wanted to go back to grad school, okay? He got a pretty good scholarship, but he still has, from undergrad, about $15,000 worth of subsidized and unsubsidized federal student loans. Is he eligible for any kind of a reduction? He's not really, he's working maybe part-time, little jobs here and there, but nothing full-time, but he still has this student loan over said while he's going back to school, and he had to go full-time because of the program. It couldn't be a part-time grad program.
Hi. So while he's in school, part-time or full-time, he's allowed to defer payments, so he doesn't have to make any payments while he's enrolled in school. Then after he graduates from his graduate program, which, by the way, there's no cap on federal loans for graduate loans. So there's caps on all kinds of, there's caps on everything for undergrad, but no caps, again, for graduate school for federal loans. So that's something to keep in mind as well. But back to your situation or your son's situation, what he should do is defer all payments until after he graduates. And then when he goes to work, if he's working for the public sector, in other words, if he's working for a public school, then he's going to be entitled to payments that are going to equal 10% of his gross disposable earnings, which is going to be a very low payment. And then after 120 of those payments or 10 years, the balance of the loan is going to be forgiven. So even the years where, and now he does have to be working full time in the public sector. So while he's making those payments, but he can also give us a call and we'd be happy to, set him on the right track. But in the meantime, he doesn't have to make any payments. Don't worry about the interest that's accruing because it's going to be forgiven at the end of that 120 month payment term.
So the interest, why he's deferring it, the interest will be forgiven after the 120 months.
So the interest gets paid by the government on the subsidized loans. That's why they're called subsidized loans, meaning that the government pays the interest while you're in deferment. But on the unsubsidized loans, the interest does continue to accrue. But again, don't worry, because he won't end up paying it anyway.
Okay, we'll leave it at that. And you can pick up business with her later on. But I wish you luck and get out of the way, because it sounds like a train is coming at you, Mike. Thank you for the phone call. The 529 or Bright Start program. A lot of you are saying, hey, John, Bright Start 529, 529. Thank you, everybody. I knew it was a number. I knew it was a word. Imagine that. Hi, John. Can you ask if I need to fill out FAFSA for my daughter's second semester? Does it apply for the full year? You do it once a year? Do you do it once at all? Do you do it every semester? How often do you fill out a FAFSA?
It, you know, it depends on the school. You can do it once in October and then once again, I think, for the second semester, whenever that would be. But I think you can take out all of the loans just the once per year in October, before October 1st. But check with your financial advisor at the financial aid office.
Joanne, you're on WGN. What can we do for you?
Hi. I have a daughter who finished undergraduate debt-free, did a two-year program to become a physician assistant. And I'm wondering if she would qualify for some of these, past that $58,000. It's from the Department of Education, and then my husband and I co-signed on private loans for about $35,000.
So you're at $93,000 there.
So for the federal portion, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but for the federal portion of her loans, is she working for a private practice, or does she work for a hospital?
She is going to start working in the emergency room at a hospital in December.
Oh, great. Okay, so as long as she's working full-time at a hospital that's a 501c3 and not-for-profit, like here in Chicago, it's, you know, Northwestern or Lutheran General. Most of them are.
Okay, she's going to be with the AMITA group.
Yes, AMITA. That'll qualify,
okay,
too. And so as long as she's full-time, or what they consider full-time, which is 30 hours a week or more, then she's going to qualify for public sector loan forgiveness. So what's going to happen is, but she's got to be in the right payment plan, which is going to be an income-driven plan. We can also take care of it for her if she wants us to.
But this would be 10% of the quote-unquote disposable
10%
income.
10% of her gross disposable earnings, not her and her husband, just hers. And that's the mistake people make, too, is they over...
Yeah.
Submit income, but just her income. So 10% is what she's going to be eligible for. And then she's got to certify her employment with Fed Loan Servicing. They are the ones who have a contract with the Department of Ed to oversee all public sector loan forgiveness applications. So as long as it's basically all about compliance with the statute, kind of like when you are filling out your taxes. It's the same thing.
Wasn't there a story, or didn't you tell us once, what percentage of people do all of that and do it correctly? How many people are leaving debt forgiveness on the table?
90%.
That's what I thought.
Yes.
I mean, that's the thing that frustrates me to the end of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to do this, then let's make it understandable and manageable for people.
Right.
Are you doing all of the things that she's talking about, Joanne?
Well, I'm just becoming aware of it listening to the commercials that you do with Ray and listening to this segment. So, a couple of questions, too, are why does the federal government charge such a high interest rate to these students? It's like 6.8%, and the interest starts to accrue from the day you take the loan out.
That's true. It's true. And it's set by Congress, and it is capped, and it's a fixed rate. But again, don't worry about it, because if you do it the right way, she's not going to end up paying
it. And that's silly, too, right? If the Congress is going to pass a law that said we'll do debt forgiveness, why are they making the clock start early at a rate higher than I could get elsewhere? That doesn't make sense to me.
Right. I know. It's just the statute was written, especially with the public sector loan forgiveness, to encourage people to go into the public sector. So your daughter will definitely benefit from this. It's just that you have to be in compliance with the statute. That's the most important thing. So right payment plan, right type of job, right type of loans, and make sure she has Stafford loans and not something called FEL, F-F-E-L. Those loans don't qualify, but we can turn them into Stafford loans if they are the wrong type.
Okay, so what is your number, Ray, so I can have Maggie call you?
Nope, not going to put that on the radio. Sorry.
It's 312-294-8989.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Okay, thanks for listening. My best to your daughter and your family. They're sitting on $93,000 in debt for 2 years after she's gone through school for four. Lee, you're on WGN Radio with Ray Kaplan. Hi, Lee, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. My grandniece has a 9-year-old daughter, Abby. What should she be doing in preparation for going to college?
Yeah, what a great question.
Well, I think it's a good idea to, it's always a good idea to save some money or to take part in the Bright Star program and to set aside some money. It really is a personal preference. However, I would say that if that's not a possibility, to not worry too much because, again, she's going to be qualified for federal student loans, Stafford and subsidized and unsubsidized. Again, they're capped for undergrad, but her parents or legal guardian can take out federal Parent Plus loans to take care of the balance. And then if she decides to go to grad school, there's no limit on what she can take out to cover cost of tuition and room and board for grad school from the federal government. So everything will be covered. And then again, we have this really great statute that allows for payment plans that's like 10% of gross disposable income. And then for federal Parent Plus loans, that calculation is for the parent borrower, 20% of gross disposable income. So even, and there, and parents are also eligible for public sector loan forgiveness on Parent Plus loans. So there's a lot of forgiveness of loans out there that people are not taking advantage of.
Good luck to you all on that, Lee. Nice of you to ask that in advance. What about divorced families, says 630? Should the child ask the parent that's earning the least to co-sign on the Parent Plus loan or to sign up for a Parent Plus loan?
Yes, whoever is earning the least of the parents should take out a federal Parent Plus loan. And the other thing about federal Parent Plus loans is that just the parent borrower is responsible. They never get transferred to the student. The student is not responsible for them. It's just the parent.
What if the parent has trouble paying down the road?
Well, then again, then
it's their disposable income.
Yeah, so it's their disposable income.
If you're financially strapped, then the amount you owe goes down as well.
I mean, we have parents in income-based payment plans that their payment is $0 per month until the payment term runs
out. After 10 years?
After 10 years, and then the balance is wiped out.
Well, did you say if I'm on Social Security, what happens then?
So, yeah, there's something else called a TPD discharge, meaning if you're on Social Security, SSI, or you get some other type of disability benefit and you're not working, you may be eligible for total forgiveness of all of your loans, even Parent Plus loans. And that's something that we would want to go through with you because there is a 3-year monitoring period afterwards. But it's definitely possible to get rid of those loans.
773 said, oh, my God, Ray has helped us so much. But 630 said the loan forgiveness program only approves 1% of those who apply. Is that true?
That's if you do it yourself and you mess it up. So basically those
Most people are screwing this up.
People are messing it up. And here's where they mess up. They either have the wrong type of loans. They have FFELP loans, or they are not certifying their employment that they're employed by a government entity, or they're in the wrong type of payment plan. And being in the wrong type of payment plan is really a big one, guys. You can't be in a balance-based plan, which is like the extended graduated or the graduated plans. You have to be in an income-driven plan. That's really important. And those payments where those months where you put your loans in forbearance or deferment won't count. So the clock doesn't start ticking until you're in an income-driven plan, and then it's 120 payments from there. So sometimes people get declined only because they apply for it and they're a month or too early. So then they have to apply a month or two later, and then they get the public sector loan forgiveness.
312, does she mean loans are forgiven if my student becomes a doctor or teacher? This is confusing.
Yes.
Okay, doctor, teacher, but what if I work for a municipality? What if I'm a clerk for the police station?
Yes.
I'm working for the public sector.
That's right.
I don't know what the percentage is. Shoot, I forgot to ask. Elif, did we ever find out what percentage of people in America are public sector employees? I still need that percentage. Look that up and repeat it to me on the air. Okay, lots of calls, lots of texts. The phone number for Ray Kaplan, we're out of time, is 312-981-7200. 312.
No, that's your number.
It's 312-294-8989.
That's right.
312-294, as in the Tri-State Tollway, 8989. 312.
As in?
Mike Ditka's football number? Yes.
Mike Ditka's jersey number.
So just think Ditka's driving on the Tri-State here in the Chicago area, and you get 312-294-8989. The website is?
Financialrelief.com.
Ray, thanks for coming in.
Sure.
Ray Kaplan, Kaplan Law Firm.